Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Certainly God is good. He has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, it's good to be alive. Look at another and say, it's good to be active. Amen. Find you one more and say, it's good to be alert. It's good to be alive and know you're alive. Amen. Come on, put a smile on your face. Come on, look at somebody all behind you, in front of you, put a smile on your face. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Well, we're blessed to be in the house of the Lord. Come on, one more time. Last week could have been our last, but God blessed us to see this new day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord once again. We are the evidence of God's goodness and grace. Look at somebody and look at the evidence of God's goodness and grace. Come on, look at somebody. When you get home, look in the mirror. You see the evidence of God's grace and his goodness. Woke up this morning with my mind saying, woke up this morning with my mind saying, woke up this morning with my mind saying, I need to hear you. Come on, get it in your spirit. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Certainly we thank God for Reverend Woods presiding over this service. It is so good to see Pastor Emeritus Walker back. Amen. Thank you. Amen. So good to see him. And he was out preaching for Reverend Smalls. Is that right? He was preaching for Reverend Smalls. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad his assignment is up. That he's at home. Amen. We want him at home. Amen. Reverend Mims and Reverend Walker, and certainly to the minister wives, deacon and trustee wives, for devoting us. And this male chorus who has sang so melodiously, blessed us in song. Amen. Musicians that have played so skillfully, environmental safety team and ushers, media ministry, let me just say, all of you, it's good for us to be in the house of the Lord once again. Amen. Been a wonderful weekend. Had a wonderful time on yesterday with the men. And listen, I get excited when we have men gathering for the purpose of being empowered and enlisted in the work of the Lord. And we had a wonderful time, social media, mental health, and just being strengthened through the presentation of Brother Perry, Brother Austin, and Dr. Wesley. If you missed it on yesterday, you missed the treat. Amen. We were blessed. I'm still feeling good. This is overflow. Amen. This is overflow. Brother Kelly has done a wonderful job in spearheading, and thank you, Brother Kelly, Deacon Kelly, for your leadership and obeying God. Amen. So good to see. Is that Mother Cook? Amen. Amen. Good to see you. Amen. Good to see you. Good to see you. Have two former members here with us this morning, Sister Celestine and Sister Tarbert. Amen. All the way from Starkville. And y'all know Sister Celestine, she comes occasionally, and we thank God for her presence. And she has a tag along. Who drove today? Amen. Who drove? Which one of you? Amen. All right. All right. Good to see you all today. Amen. So good to see you. And just good to see everybody. Listen, you know, COVID, you know, brought to mind, revealed to us just how precious people are. And to see people, amen, it's a blessing to see people. It's a blessing to be in the company of people. So don't you take it for granted. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Now what I need you to do is take out your phones. Take out your phones. If you got Facebook, take out your phones. This is a share campaign. If you got your Facebook, if you have your phone, go to New Bethlehem, Bessemer, Alabama. I want you to help a lot of people, because we believe in our preaching and believing in our teaching. I want you to go to your Facebook page and go to New Bethlehem. And when you stroll and find the service, share the service with somebody you know. All right. Share it with somebody you know. Now, once you share it, you just get off, because y'all are here with me. You all alive in the place live. So share it with someone. Help somebody. Listen, we want to grow our media base. We want to grow our outreach. We want to share the message with as many people as we can. And when you get home, share it again. And share it again. I want you to listen to it again. So it'll be worked in your spirit what God is saying to us, because we understand preaching is not vain. God sent His word with a purpose. And the purpose of God needs to be fulfilled and accomplished in the earth, in us, and through us. So you have helped somebody if you have taken out your phone and you have shared. You have shared. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Look at somebody and say, by faith. Look at another and say, by faith. Amen. Help me shout at the virtual audience, by faith. By faith. By faith. God does what He do by faith. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, if you're going to live a life that's pleasing to God, there has to be faith in God. You can have faith outside of God, or faith in someone or something else. And I'm here to tell you that that faith does not please God. Only faith in God pleases God. For faith is confidence in God. It is a conviction from the Word of God. It is a consciousness of God sustaining and creative power. That God, He wants us to lay all of our weight, lay all of our being into His hands, to trust Him to keep us and to take care of us. Faith is confidence, a conviction. What you wake up to every day, every morning. What drives you in the day. A person without a conviction is like a wandering people in the wilderness. It's like a people with no energy, people who are lackadaisical, people who are indifferent, because nothing matters to people that have no conviction. But I contend that you have to have something to live for and something to live by, something that makes you wake up in the morning and get out of the bed with a desire to do it. This conviction. And faith is confidence in God, a conviction from the Word of God. It's a consciousness of God's creative power, sustaining power. It takes us to the beginning, and then it takes us to the present, in that God created in the beginning. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created. It is not evolution. It didn't just evolve. Because if it evolved then, why isn't it evolving now? That God is the one who stepped out on nothing and called everything that's created into existence by the power of His Word. It is God and His creative power. But then it brings us to the present in that God is sustaining us. That our faith has to say to us that we didn't make it to where we are on our own. It is God, by His sustaining power, that kept us through yesteryears and yestermonths and yesterweeks and yesterdays, and who's keeping us right now. Is there anybody who can be a witness in the house of God this morning that it was nobody and it is nobody but God who's keeping you? Ought to have a witness, somebody know that it wasn't your good luck, it wasn't your good looks, it wasn't you being careful, and it wasn't you being smart and intelligent that you are here today. It's only because of the sustaining power of the Lord. It was God's power who led you over hills and through valleys, who led you through seen and unseen dangers. It was God, and it is God, and it will always be God. Look at somebody and tell them it was God. And it is God. That we have faith in God, but not just a concept of God, just to think on God. We need an active faith. In other words, faith requires action. Faith is an action word. It is an action verb. Faith is more than a concept, a notion of the mind. It is conduct in life. It is obedience unto God, regardless of the circumstances and consequences. That we are to move by faith. We are to act in obedience to the commands of God, regardless of the circumstances and consequences. You can't wait until it's okay. You can't wait until it's fixed. You can't wait until your problem is solved. You have to obey God when things are disturbed in your life. Ought to have some witnesses here that faith is an active obedience, regardless of the circumstances and consequences. Here it is, we get a sneak peek, a snapshot of Sarah's faith in God. That Sarah's faith survived trials and impossibilities. One trial was the long delay of conception and birth of a legitimate son, through whom the promise of an innumerable seed might be fulfilled. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Sarah, she shows us how God works through our faith, even when our faith is weak and fragile. How God works through our faith to do the impossible. God doesn't need a whole lot of faith to work. He can work with a mustard size seed of faith. Do I have anybody here who can be a witness? That the truth be told, you didn't always have it together. If the truth be told, you weren't always strong in your faith. If the truth be told, you had weak faith because of the circumstances. But God can work with faith even if the faith is weak. If faith is little and small. Matter of fact, God specializes in working with little faith. Y'all just hold that thought. I'll be back to it in just a minute. He specializes in working with little faith. Several things from the text that we need to glean if we're going to do it by faith. Number one, by faith, God saved or gave Sarah power to procreate. By faith, God gave Sarah power to procreate. Verse 11 says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Notice, first of all, that there's a promise of procreation. God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. A son. Genesis chapter 12. God promised to give the land of Canaan to a offspring, to the offspring of Abraham and Sarah. He promised to give the land to an offspring when they didn't have an offspring. Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 17, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He laughed at God. He laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He laughed at God. He laughed at God because he saw it as an impossibility, because he was 100 years old and his wife was 90 years old. Not only did God share it with Abraham, he shared it with Sarah in Genesis chapter 18, verses 19, verses 9 through 14. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were all well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a son since I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At that appointed time, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. They laughed. Both of them laughed at God. But hear me now. My daddy used to tell me that he who laughs first may not have the last laugh. Because God can do the impossible even when the impossible seemingly can't be done. God says you're going to have a child. And if God said it, that settles it. Look at somebody and say, if God said it, that settles it. It may seem crazy. It may seem absurd. It may seem ridiculous. But if God said it, that settles it. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Deuteronomy 7:8 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who loves him and keeps his commandments. The psalmist proclaimed in Psalms 105, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. God is faithful. He's faithful when we are faithless. He's faithful. Paul said to his son in the ministry in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot disown himself. I'm glad God's word is not predicated upon my response. Because even when I respond the wrong way and illy, God is faithful to his word. God is faithful when our faith is compromised. He's faithful. He's faithful. Not one word of God's promise will fail. God wants us to have assurance that his promises will not and cannot fail. Look at somebody and tell them he's faithful. He's faithful. He promised a son. But the promise of God could not come to fruition without the power of God. He promised a son. But he had to give power to bring to pass the promise. So notice not only the promise of procreation, but notice the powerful procreation. Sarah received power by faith. That means that when we put our faith in God, he gives us strength that we don't have on our own. He gives us power and ability to accomplish what he has laid before us to accomplish. She received power by faith. Prior to the change of Sarah's name, Sarah's faith was weak. She was struggling with infertility. She was powerless. In Genesis chapter 11, we see that she was powerless. She could not bring forth a child on her own. Chapter 11, verses 29 through 30. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham, or Abram's wife, was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. So in Genesis chapter 15, verse 4, God promised Abraham a son with his wife Sarah to be his heir. Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2, after receiving a word from the Lord, Sarah became impatient and took matters into her own hands. She said, well, God has taken too long. I'm old and stricken in years. I have a maiden, an Egyptian maid. Her name is Hagar. She's beautiful to look upon. And you can have her to bring forth a son to be your heir. Now, she developed a plan to have Abraham sleep with her servant Hagar, and Abraham agreed despite the word he received from the Lord. Her plan ended up backfiring in Genesis chapter 16 when Hagar conceived. Sarah became resentful. Listen, any time you operate out of the will of God, outside of the will of God for your life, it's going to disturb your life. Oh, it's going to devastate your life. If you operate outside of the will of God, God didn't tell her to give her servant over to Abraham. He said, you, Sarah, are going to have a bouncing baby boy. But it was taking so long where she was disturbed in her faith. And let me tell you, that's what weak faith in God will do. Weak faith takes matters into your own hand. Weak faith ignores the word of God. Weak faith tries to help God out. Weak faith tries to fulfill God's good end with fleshly means. Well, I'm glad God doesn't throw us away when we have weak faith. Oh, let me show it to you in the Bible. The disciples in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus talked about the Father providing for and taking care of the daily necessities of life, he says to them, "All ye of little faith." He says, if you want a sermon illustration, go out and look at the birds. Look at the fish. And you see a God in action because they neither toil nor spin. Look at the lilies of the valley. He says, God takes care of them. And God will take care of you. Not only that. In Matthew chapter 8, when they were sailing on the sea smoothly across in obedience unto God, and all of a sudden a storm came. You know, sometimes God will allow a storm to come upon the sea while you are in your ship just to show you where your faith is. A storm came upon the water, and there was more water in the ship than they anticipated being in the ship. So they went down and shook Jesus and said, "Lord, do you care if we perish?" Jesus got up on the hinder part of the boat and he stood up on the deck and said, "Peace be still." And after he calmed the sea, he looked at his disciples and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." But he didn't throw them away. There was a time in Matthew chapter 17 when Jesus went upon the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and 9 of his disciples remained at the foot of the mountain, and they brought a demonic boy unto Jesus. But Jesus was not there, and his disciples could not heal or deliver the boy from demon possession. Jesus came back from the mountain and saw a disturbance at the foot of the mountain, and he calmed the crowd and he looked at his disciples and said, "Oh, generation of little faith." They had little faith. No faith. Jesus can work with little faith. He doesn't throw us away because we have little faith. He allows circumstances to build us in our faith, and he gives us his word to build us in our faith. So when your faith is weak, don't think about how weak your faith is. You need to think on the object of your faith. That your faith cannot be the object of your faith. People can't be the object of your faith. Possessions can't be the object of your faith. God and God alone has to be the object of your faith. And when you place your faith in the Lord will strengthen and your faith. She was weak. She didn't have it within herself to produce a child. And on top of her inability, God waited until she was beyond the age of childbearing. I can be a witness. I thought, what y'all laughing at me for? I thought I was beyond. My wife thought she was beyond. But God can do the impossible. She didn't have it within herself. And the Bible says God gave her strength to conceive and bring forth a bouncing baby boy. Y'all laughing at me. But that Abrahamic spirit is still lingering. She didn't have strength. But God gave her strength to conceive. And we see the promise, we see the power. But then there had to be patience. Because here it is, a 90-year-old woman. Pregnant. God had to give her some patience and give Abraham some patience to deal with the pain and people. And you can imagine a 90-year-old woman with pain, pregnant. And the body goes through a change. You know, the pelvis and all of that, you know, has to open. And the baby putting pressure on the bladder. She had to lean back because she was pregnant. Had never been pregnant before. But she had to lean back because of the pain and the discomfort of her body. And I can imagine Sarah praying, Lord, have mercy. Some of y'all young women pray. But here it is, a 90-year-old woman. Pregnant. And body. With pain. But not only did she have to have patience for the pain, she had to have patience with people. Because if Sarah was to walk into the church today, pregnant, along with Abraham, a 100-year-old man, with a 90-year-old woman, some of y'all will be hunching one another. Poor net Sarah. You know, everywhere she went, she drew attention. Because people had never seen a 90-year-old woman pregnant before. And listen, what people don't understand, they criticize. They make mockery of, they laugh at, they jist and jank. Y'all can imagine how we feel, you know. Sometimes we go in stores and people say, you have a beautiful granddaughter. I just said, thank you. No sense in arguing with people trying to prove the point that I'm the daddy and she's the mama. We just said, thank you. Sometimes we're picking out beautiful outfits and they come up to us and they want to be, you know, they want to give compliments. Oh, that's a beautiful outfit for your granddaughter. I just said, thank you. Because you'll never understand that God gave strength to me and gave strength to that woman to bring forth a bouncing baby girl. Because what people don't understand, they criticize. I was in the store the other day with Trinity, and the clerk says, where's your daughter? The mother of that child. I just said, she at the house. And then the next time we went into the store together, she looked at my wife and looked at me. She said, that ain't your daughter. I don't know, that's my wife. People don't understand. They criticize what they don't understand. And listen, there's no need of you getting to a tongue wrestling match trying to make them understand. You just sometimes need to say, okay. That God gave Sarah power to conceive. Now, you know it was Sarah because after Sarah died, Abraham took on another wife and he had children by his second wife. And so God strengthened the faith of Sarah, the womb of Sarah, the body of Sarah by her faith. Let me tell you this, and I'm done. God, by faith, produced a nation. See, when God blesses you, He will always bless you beyond what you can think or even ask. They were only wanting one boy, one son, to be an heir to Abraham. They had in mind one boy, but God had a nation in mind. Verse 12 says, faith is the foundation for an innumerable seed. The descendant of Abraham and Sarah's son Isaac became the nation of Israel. The whole Jewish people sprang from one man and one woman. God used the faith, Sarah's faith, to produce a nation. There was more in Sarah than Sarah knew was in her. And God moved from impossibility to innumerable seed. That when there's nothing, God specializes in stepping out on nothing and calling a whole lot from nothing. He gave her one boy, and through that one boy came the whole nation of Israel. Listen, when God have your faith, He'll blow your mind. Let me say that again. When God has your faith, He will blow your mind. For God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. For we think in terms of minimum, but God thinks in terms of maximum. We think in terms of ordinary, but God thinks in terms of extraordinary. We think in terms of natural, but God thinks in terms of supernatural. God will always do more than you expect. He will always do more than you can ask. God is a God who specializes in the things impossible. For we serve a God that can do beyond human ability. For He's a God who can walk on water. He's a God who can turn water to wine. He's a God who can unstop deaf ears. He's a God that can open blinded eyes. He's a God who can raise the dead. Is there anybody in here can believe that we serve a God who can do the impossible? If you don't believe He can do the impossible, when you get home after service, you need to look in the mirror and see how God has done the impossible in your life. He woke you up this morning and started you on a new way. He put bread on your table. He put joy in your heart. He put peace in your mind. Is there anybody here who knows that God can do the impossible? He created Himself a body and came through the 9-month train. He stopped in a lonely place called Bethlehem, where He walked the desolate streets of Palestine for 33 and a half years. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed hungry multitudes. He brought life to lifeless bodies. He can do the impossible. One Friday, he went to a hill called Calvary, and he let them nail his hands and rivet his feet. He was hanged between two thieves and between heaven and earth. He died. Somebody knows he died. You ought to high five your neighbor and said, neighbor, he died. He was not unconscious. He died. He was not in a comatose state. He died. He died. Out on that old rugged cross, he put his lifeless body in a borrowed tomb. Well, it's Sunday morning. He did the impossible. He was raised up with all power in his hands. Power to heal, power to deliver, power to set free, power to give you power to procreate, power to turn your life around, power to bless your life. He got up Sunday morning with all power in his hands. And let me ask you one question, then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he alright? If you know he's alright, let me hear you say yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes! The doors. The doors of the Lord's house stand ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your vein. He has power to save. Power to deliver. If you come, he will save you. He will save you if you can believe him as Lord. Believe him as Savior. That he is the Son of God. God sent him to stand in your place, to die in your stead. If you can believe that Jesus died for you, to forgive you of your sin. And he was buried and God raised him from the dead. And you're able to confess that with your mouth. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Alabama, on your heart. For your spiritual nourishment, for your spiritual family, come. Come. Certainly. If you're here and you're backslidden, you can be restored. If you come, the altar of the Lord is open. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But you have to give it to him. He's not going to break into your life and take it. You have to give it to him. Willfully give it to him. You know, God will let you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And what you don't give up and give over to him, he will allow that to chasten your life, to put lashes on you, because he wants you right. He wants you in right relationship with him. Come on, if you're here today and you're not saved, give the Lord your life. Secondly, if you're here, need of a church home, come. We'll receive you. Thirdly, come. If you need to be restored. Lord, I want to be close. I want the intimacy back. My sins have separated me. And I don't feel as close to you as I used to. I know I'm yours, I'm your child, because you never stop being my father. But I'm not receiving sonship or daughtership blessings. I need to be restored. And I'm not just talking about tangibles, I'm talking about spiritual blessings. The joy of my salvation is gone. I need my joy restored. My healing of sickness and deliverance is gone. Being satisfied with my mouth, or in my mouth with good things, is gone. But Lord, you can and you will restore. Everyone to your feet, if you will.
The church say amen. Say amen. Let the church say amen. Say amen. Say amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have met us in this place. For the manifestation of your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of blessings resting upon us. Your hand of power and provision and protection. Your hand of care and compassion. Lord, thank you. For our epiphany, our God moment. Thank you, Lord, for everything that has transpired. That our coming is not in vain. That we are going back to our respective places, our humble abodes, better than we were before we came. Because truly we have been in your presence, and it is marvelous. In our eyes and in our hearts. Father, I thank you for your word, that your word is with us. Your word is before us. Your word will keep us. Now may your grace, the love of Jesus Christ, the sweet communing of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and every heart say amen. Amen. Go in peace today. Love you to life.
Let the church.